Welcome to my video on office best practices. The objective is to increase your work efficiency. This is a very fast-paced session. I'm going to minimize demos so that we concentrate on the awareness rather than the operational skill. You may not like a particular topic or it may not be relevant to you, but don't worry, just wait for a few seconds. The next one is coming up very quickly. Now, this is a very important concept, and right now I'm only talking about working on office tools. What we really want is with less effort. We don't just want to achieve what we were doing earlier faster. We actually want to achieve more things, and many of these are even unimaginable to you. That is the real power of office. You will see it as we go ahead. So first thing, many times we see that the contrast between the user interface or the menus and the document is very poor because ribbon itself is white in color. If you don't like that, go to File Options General and change it from white to dark gray. And this is how it changes the contrast now. Now, probably this is the most important one. When you don't know something and you want to find out how to do a particular thing, don't go to help. Don't go to web and search for something. Don't ask each other. Don't use your gut feeling. Right click at the point of confusion. If I right click on the column name, the menus are different. If I right click inside a cell, the menus are different. What does that mean? Right click is intelligently assembling all the useful stuff in that menu. In short, right click shows you what can I do here. File new, of course, everyone knows, Control N, but many times we have not gone and looked at these beautifully made templates which are on Office Online. So just explore them next time you have little time. But more importantly, there is one more thing there called personal, and generally this area will be blank because you have never stored any personal templates. So remember, anytime you're opening a document, copy-pasting something from it or copy-pasting the whole document or just saying save as, making a copy and then making changes, that is the time you need personal templates. Templates can also be shared across the team or even the organization using group policy. Many of you must have noticed this, but we hardly ever pay attention to it because we don't know what it means. So whenever you open a file next time, even if you don't see that .xls, if you see compatibility mode written there, just stop, because even if you are using the latest version of Office, it is behaving as though it was Office 2003. That is what compatibility mode means. It's your enemy. You have to get rid of it immediately. So just save it as new version and then open it. In case of Excel, you have to close and reopen it. In case of Word and PowerPoint, just saving it in the new format is good enough. Of course, it reduces the size by half, and now all new features are available. Of course, file open is something we do every day. But many of us have not noticed that small little pin next to each recently opened file. If it's a commonly used file, just click on the pin. That means that file will always remain there, even if you open many other files. Also remember, you can pin folders. Now this list of recently used files has more stuff there on right click. I'm not going to explain each one of them, but notice there are some beautiful ones. For example, open a copy can be used, let's say when you have a presentation which contains notes. You want to keep the notes, but you want to send the same presentation without the notes to customer. So you will need to open a copy. So rather than opening the original and trusting yourself to save it as a copy, why not open a copy itself? Another one is remove from list. Why would you want to remove anything from the list? Let it be there. It's anyway going to go away after I open a few more files. But remember, this is a very important concept. If there is a feature, however useless it may seem, there has to be a purpose. So let me explain. Just previous section we saw that if you have a file opened in compatibility mode, you have to save it as new version file, XLSX, DocX, and then close and reopen it. Now think what will happen to this recent file list. You will have the XLS file also listed there and the XLSX file listed there. Now, if you're not careful, you may open XLS file sometime and edit it, or open the XLSX version and edit it, and then get completely confused. So it's dangerous. So now go to this file recent list and remove the older version file entry from there. Now do you understand? Every feature has a purpose, and finding that purpose, that thought process, is called efficiency. Many a times we used to think that till 2003, in file menu itself, recently opened files were shown at the bottom with a shortcut 1, 2, 3, 4 and so on. That feature seems to be missing in the new version, but it's not. All that you have to do is go to File, Advanced, Display and say whatever number it is. Don't put a big number. It has to practically be visible in the screen depending on your screen size. If that scrolls, it is not called quick. This is now exactly like before. Alt F will open the file menu, and those quick files, the top N, will have numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, File Save dialog has undergone a lot of transformation in 2013, basically so that we are compelled or we feel like storing files on OneDrive or similar cloud-based storage. We had the bad habit of storing things on My Documents for many, many years. And even if we get OneDrive, SharePoint, whatever, we still store them locally and then upload them, which is not the right way. The idea is to directly store files on a cloud storage so that even you can access it from another device or another location. And on demand, you can share it with people whom you need to collaborate with. Of course, storing it on OneDrive has many benefits. And here I'm talking about OneDrive for business. OneDrive personal gives you only 7 GB of space as of today. And OneDrive for business gives you 1 TB of space as of today. But there is going to be a good likelihood that it will become unlimited very soon. Once you store it on OneDrive, you can control who sees it or who can edit it or not see it at all. Whenever you make changes to the file, version of the previous document is automatically stored. No file name changes are required. You can go back to it anytime. If you have shared the file with someone and you want to know who changed it, you can just enable notifications on it. Bottom line is, don't store documents in My Documents. Store them in Our Documents. Our Documents is just a terminology I have made up, but basically means OneDrive. OneDrive means for one person to store one and only copy of that document. So here is how multiple people can edit the same document. So let me explain what's happening here. On the left side, I have opened this document as Nitin. This document is stored on OneDrive. And while this is stored on OneDrive, I have shared this document from here by inviting another user, which is Demo. Now on the right side of the screen, I have logged in as that user called Demo. But this time, just to show you that this works in browser as well, I have opened it in Chrome. Now, this is called Document Map, which basically shows you wherever there is heading 1, 2, 3 style applied. Now, notice at the bottom, there is an icon which shows me that two people are editing this document. In fact, you can see who are the people who are editing the document. Similarly, on the browser side also, it will show you that multiple people are editing the document. So if I zoom this, it'll also tell me that another person is editing the document. This means I'm using Word to edit it. On browser side, whenever I change something, it is auto-saved because we don't want to lose changes due to an unreliable internet connection. On this side, I got this particular solid line and a refresh button. What does that mean? That this particular paragraph is currently locked for someone else. I also see an icon here which says someone is working here. And if I go here, it says that someone has made some changes. And if you really want to see those changes, you should save your document. So synchronization happens when you save. In case of browser, the synchronization happens live because actually it is auto-save. Now notice what happens. If I click inside this paragraph, which is already locked for someone else, I cannot edit anything and all my editing buttons are inactive. But at the same time, I can edit another paragraph if I like. So now I'm going to just type. Notice that it has a dotted line to visually indicate for me that this is my paragraph. And simultaneously, on the other side, what happened? For this user called demo, this paragraph has got locked now. On the Word side, I'm going to save this file. It actually shows me what was edited. For my convenience, it is shown in green overlay color. Notice what happened on the right side. This paragraph got released and it got refreshed. You must try this out to get the confidence to start using it in your day-to-day work. And you also need to teach this to people around you. Otherwise, you will have the confidence, but they will not. And you will still end up sending CCs to each other, defeating the whole purpose. Now, here is another nice concept which will help you learn Office more effectively. There are some features which we get irritated with. Whenever you encounter such a feature, that means it has to be extremely useful. Why am I saying it has to be? Because Microsoft knows that people get irritated with it. So naturally, they should have removed it, but they have decided to keep it in spite of taking the risk of disturbing billions of people. And they better have a good reason for that decision. And that reason is that feature is extremely useful. Many times when we open files, which are file attachments to emails or downloaded from internet or opened from external USB drives, we get this message and we get irritated. Now, this is good for you because it's actually opening it so that you can read the content at least. But if there is any malicious code in it, and even if you don't have an antivirus loaded, it will still protect you. So it's a good thing if you trust the source and if you want to edit it, say enable editing. Even if you trust the source, but you are just reading the file, there is no need to say enable editing in any case. Trust Center has lots of settings which can be very, very useful. The question is, how do I know which shortcuts I need? I don't want to buy-hard all of them. So the simple concept is start noticing which buttons you are clicking on often. Now, next time you are about to click on the button, wait there. If there is a shortcut, it will be shown in the tooltip. Just try it out, remember it a few times, and then you are done. Now, if your frequently used button does not have a keyboard shortcut, you need it. So how do you create one? That is the next question. And that is where Quick Access Toolbar comes into picture. Right-click on the frequently used button and add it there. These three buttons, Save, Undo, and Redo, are purely for demo purpose so that the world realizes they can put their own button. Frequently used buttons which do not have a keyboard shortcut belong there. So first thing is remove those three buttons because they already have a keyboard shortcut. If you press Alt key, what happens? It gets a number. And that's how you get keyboard shortcut for buttons which are frequently used by you and did not have a native keyboard shortcut. Of course, you have to go to Customize Quick Access Toolbar and rearrange those tools so that the really useful 9 are on the top. Because after 9, you get double digit shortcuts. Now, in many cases, in the ribbon, at the corner, bottom right corner, there is some small little down looking arrow. What does that do? It is not just there for decoration purpose. If you use that button called Dialog Launcher more commonly, right click there and say Add to Quick Access Toolbar. If you really want to revamp the entire user interface and want to create your own stuff, you can. It's called customizing the ribbon. Just create a new tab. Under that, you create groups. For example, have created formula, what if, and analytics, and then put whatever buttons you want. Now, having created a quick access toolbar and maybe your own ribbon, obviously you would like to share it with your colleagues because if you find those useful, others also will find it useful. So go to customize and then say export customizations. Send that file to the other person, ask them to import it. All of us are used to having single clipboard. So you copy, something goes to clipboard. You copy something else. What was already there in the clipboard is overwritten by what you're copying now. But if you want more copying, you can actually enable that clipboard by using the dialog launcher next to the word clipboard, which you have been seeing for last, I don't know how many years, and never had the curiosity to find out what it means. So now that we have multiple clipboards, you can say copy, 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 accumulate all the stuff, and then go to the destination and say paste all. Office clipboard is visible in Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, but the clipboard itself can contain data from any application, Microsoft or otherwise. Copy paste is a very common action. In fact, it's the second most commonly used action or shortcut. The most commonly used shortcut, unfortunately, is undo. We try to do something, the paste doesn't work properly, it doesn't look nice, so we just try to repair the damage by pressing undo. So please do not undo, because undo is trying to expose your ignorance. It basically shows that you don't know how to get your work done. So if you really want to do it properly, don't undo. So that irritating icon which comes after paste is your best friend. It has all the options you need and it will visually show you how this is done. So now copy as usual, right click at the destination, choose the correct format you want. That is the new way of copy paste. If you notice that you are repetitively copy pasting from the same source, then you should not waste your time every month or every period copy pasting again and again. So that's when paste link comes into picture. This is something which is very commonly not known, but it's an extremely useful feature. Suppose you are working in a multilingual environment and you want to know meanings of various words, or rather translations of words. Of course, there is a translate selected text option. There's a beautiful option called mini translator. You have to choose the language first. And then whenever you just hover the mouse on any word, it actually translates it in the chosen language. It's a beautiful way of even learning a language very quickly without using any other tool. Also remember, there is something called Thesaurus, which is available in all products of Office by pressing Shift F7. The right word in the right context, not necessarily for every piece of document you write, but let's say where the communication quality matters, it's not just routine, it is a good idea to choose the best word. Change language as a simple shortcut in case you use multilingual stuff, Windows spacebar. This is very important. If you don't know this, you may even land into compliance issues. A lot of our documents may have some unwanted information which goes out when you send or publish the document to external world. Depending on the kind of document, it could be comments, track changes, slide notes, and so on. If you go to File menu, the section called Check for Issues actually shows you that this particular document has these kinds of potentially objectionable pieces of information. Then if you want to remove it, you don't have to do anything manually. Just click on Inspect Document. Choose what you want to remove, say Inspect, and then click on the buttons called Remove All, and the job is done. So potentially you could remove notes from all slides in one click. It is good not just to understand this, but almost make it like a mandatory best practice for any person in your organization sending a document outside. They should first do Inspect Document and then send the file. Also remember, you may need those track changes or notes. So remember to use right-click Open a Copy and don't spoil the original document if you need that content. Very often we have a document in process of getting created. And once it is finalized, you don't want either yourself or someone else to inadvertently change it because it's already final. So there is a beautiful feature under protection, File Protect, called Mark as Final. What does it do? It just disables all the user interface items which can edit. And of course, it disables editing in the document itself. And in the earlier versions, there was no choice but to put your comment on that comment as a separate comment. So the linkage was lost. So now we have a button called Reply, which allows you to have a threaded kind of discussion there. One nice touch and beautiful demo of integration is if you take your cursor to the person's icon there, it actually shows you the link pop-up. So from here itself, if you want some clarification, you can either do VoIP or you can chat with that person and finish it off. Now, sometimes we have actions to be performed repeatedly. Buttons like Format Painter and Highlighter accept a double click, and Shapes, you have to right click first and say Lock Drawing Mode. How do you come out of that repetitive mode? Just press Escape. Let us see how to use special keys. First thing I want to show you is shift key. I just want a straight line. Obviously, it's difficult to draw it otherwise, but if you press shift key and then draw the line, it will always be perfectly horizontal. In fact, by using the same shift key, I can draw perfect squares, perfect circles, isosceles triangles, and so on and so forth. So they're aligned as far as their center is concerned, but I want to change this spacing. Now notice what will happen. If I start moving it, I want to actually move it horizontally, but I cannot exactly move it horizontally. Somewhere it will also move vertically, and that's a problem. So again, shift key comes into picture. I press shift key and then start moving it horizontally. It will prevent any vertical movement, and that's also a way called constraint key. If I press control key and then drag something, instead of moving, it actually copies it. So I can actually do a move and copy operation together by pressing control key simultaneously. Now let's look at new window. Completely underutilized, unknown feature, but extremely beautiful. What does it do? It creates another window for the same document. And what do you do with it? Why would you want the same document to be seen in two windows? Sounds confusing, isn't it? But there are very special uses. For example, in Word, you can see executive summary in one window and the rest of the document in another so that you can see both together without too much of shifting or scrolling. In Excel, it's especially useful because you may have two sheets in the same workbook and you want to see them side by side. The only way to do that is to create a new window and then say arrange side by side. In Outlook, it's extremely useful for long mail trails where you have to reply to some long mail trail. So you have to keep scrolling, but your reply is always going to be on top. So you can have a new window. Actually, split works even better there, but yes, potentially. PowerPoint, you are working in detail, so you need to zoom in, but you also want to see the overall picture, which means we have to keep repeatedly zooming in and out. No. New window, one window shows actual size, one window shows zoom version. Best of both worlds. We always use hyperlinks. Typically, they point to external things, documents or web pages, but you can have internal hyperlinks, basically cross-referencing. In Word, it is for styles and bookmarks. In Excel, it is for sheets and names and so on. The View tab has many useful things. Word has a beautiful reading mode, which converts Word into sort of a e-book reader, but it retains commenting, highlighting, and useful features. In Excel, if you work very frequently with printed documents, rather than struggling with page margins just before printing, you create the document and immediately go to page layout view, and then you will see best of both worlds. You will see everything which is available in Excel, and you will see exactly how the pages will be laid out. Best of both worlds again. OneNote has a dock to desktop button where it divides the screen on the right side for taking notes and on the left side for viewing documents. And then once you type something, it automatically links it to Word, PowerPoint, and Internet Explorer browser pages. It's beautiful. And if you don't want to see a PowerPoint presentation in full screen mode because it occupies the entire screen and doesn't allow you to do anything else, try reading view. There is a commonly misunderstood concept in life which says if I'm doing something repetitive, I must record a macro. And that, unfortunately, is wrong. The real thing is, if you're doing something repetitively, that means you have not found the best or most efficient method of doing it. So before creating a macro, just try to find out if there is a better way. And if that better way is repetitive, then you can record a macro. Most laptop manufacturers put their power setting to balanced. What does that mean? It is balancing between the speed of the machine and the battery life. And in order to prolong the battery life, basically it means your machine or the processor is not running at the highest performance. Most people don't notice that setting, and lifelong they're using their laptop below its real speed or capacity. Idea is, if you're plugged in, use high performance, and if you're on battery, use power saver. There should have been a method of doing that automatically. Unfortunately, it doesn't, so you have to do it yourself. Now, this is very specific to large amount of data handling, complex files, or graphic intensive and really complex animated PowerPoint presentations or those which contain large videos. Sometimes 32-bit version can't handle that kind of complexity. And even if you have more than 4GB of RAM, technically speaking, 32-bit version cannot use it. So that's when you have to insist on getting a 64-bit version of Office. And that has much more addressable memory and it will be faster. This is simple. Zoom in, zoom out. We do it all the time. But there is also control and scroll wheel, which allows you to zoom the documents. And if you are using PowerPoint presentation in a 2013 version, just pressing plus will zoom. Plus, plus, and plus, plus, plus. So three levels of zoom and minus, minus, minus will get you back. If you use touch devices, it's very difficult to pinpoint and choose buttons in the user interface because they are very near each other. So Microsoft created a beautiful solution. You go to the quick access toolbar and you should see a touch mode. Change it to touch. And then what happens? None of the features are reduced. As you can see here, the spacing between the buttons becomes bigger. So that with a gross and inaccurate pointer like your finger, you can still do accurate user interface selections. Beautiful way of implementing touch. So this is how stylus can be used. Of course, during a presentation, you can just take your cursor anywhere and then use it for annotation purpose. But that's not limited to PowerPoint. Even in Excel, it can be used. So I have this Excel application. When I take my cursor or stylus near the screen, I see ink tools. And from these tools, I can actually choose the pen which I want. I'm going to take a red color pen. And now I can actually draw on top of this and saying, so this kind of stuff is available across Office products. So in Word, there is a reading view, which allows you to see and read it like a book. Now, while I'm doing that, I may want to put some comments. So I select this and then I right click or extended press from the stylus. Notice there's a beautiful option called ink comment and there I can actually write. And of course, the most special thing in life is OneNote. So when you're taking notes in OneNote, you should take one extra precaution. Go to view and put some ruler lines. Of course, you can remove them later. It's only for display purpose. But try to write horizontally because then the text recognition is much simpler. You can go to draw. You can choose the color you want. And then this is how you use it like a notepad. Of course, my handwriting is not very nice, but still it should be able to search for it. So if I now go to search, it'll ask me, do you want to search on this page, which is yes. And then I'm just going to choose one character right now and let's see whether it finds it. So I just put character N and notice it has found that character N in the word nice. But that's not all. You could have just gone here and then say this ink should be converted to text. And notice it has also done that. And remember, while all this is happening, if you are doing audio recording, it will automatically synchronize your annotation or writing with those audio recording bookmarks automatically. Now, Office has a lot of text-to-speech capabilities and they're very useful in different contexts. In case of Word and PowerPoint and OneNote, it can just read it out, which is good. You have written a speech and you want to see how it sounds. But in Excel, it has even more meaning. If you have a maker-checker kind of situation, someone is doing data entry, some supervisor is checking it, they can select the data and say speak cells by row or by column and then keep looking at the input sheet so that they don't have to repeatedly shift their focus from the paper to the screen and vice versa and thousands of times. And in order to reduce the data entry errors in the first place, there is something called speak cells on enter. So when I type something, Excel will speak it out for me. So if I have made a mistake, I will correct it myself. So simple. In case of PowerPoint, you can actually say record narration or record slideshow from slideshow menu. And it actually creates reusable training content. No special software is required. In fact, you can export it as an MP4 file and run it on any device without even needing PowerPoint. In case of OneNote, we sit in a meeting, take permission from everyone and say, record audio, which means you don't have to take detailed notes, but you will still not miss anything. And whatever you type as notes is automatically synchronized with the audio file, so that next time if there is a dispute, you want to know who was speaking when I wrote this particular sentence, there'll be a play button next to every sentence you have typed. Just click there, it'll automatically jump to that particular location and play it. It's just amazing. You have to see it to believe it. Text search is also possible in the audio, which we record in OneNote, but that needs to be enabled, and it may not be perfect if the noise level in the room is very high. Windows, of course, has a voice training capability, which allows you voice commands, where you can actually say file open, file close, select, make it bold, like that. And it also supports dictation. But this requires a good quality microphone, non-noisy room, and you need to spend half an hour at least in training the system about how you speak. Now, the most important feature, I would say, of Office is that everything is designed to work with each other. If you have a Word document which contains tiles, that means you have used heading 1, heading 2 to indicate which are the main and subtopics, in one click, you can convert it to a PowerPoint presentation. It is called Send to PowerPoint. You have to go to Customize Quick Access Toolbar and add that command for it to work. Now, if you right-click on a meeting request and you want to take notes, you choose meeting notes from there, and then it'll automatically create a linked page in OneNote notebook. Similarly, if you have a OneNote notebook for a particular topic and you receive a mail related to the same topic, you can right-click on the email in Outlook and say send this mail to that particular notebook in OneNote. Now, while you're taking minutes of meeting in OneNote, you may have some action points. And action points are best handled in task folders. So you right-click on the action point in OneNote and say this is a task which I want to perform today, tomorrow, or I want to delegate it to someone. And then it'll become a task in Outlook. And when you mark it in Outlook as complete, Outlook will figure out where is the equivalent OneNote page and mark that also as complete. Now, very important feature for scanned documents or documents which are read-only, you cannot copy-paste from them and you want the text and you want searchability, can go to any application, go to its print dialog and say print to OneNote. So whatever are the pages will get printed to OneNote as images, and then right-click on that image and say copy text. OneNote has an OCR functionality which allows you to copy text from it or even search for it within the document in OneNote itself. Now, Skype for Business is probably the most integrated software because it's a communication software which works with Office. So wherever you need it, it's available. We will have a separate session on Skype for Business to illustrate this. And of course, all documents work specially with OneDrive. Excel has even tighter integration where you can publish a document containing multiple sheets with raw data, intermediate results, and final output in terms of pivot tables. And then you say, I only want to expose the pivot table to people. And OneDrive has the ability to understand the Excel file, convert it to a browser page, and show it to the other party so that they don't need Excel to view and interact with the final report. Now, of course, there are thousands and thousands of features and more are getting added. So it's not that you just learn few things and life will be good. You have to learn continuously. So how do you do that? First thing is a mindset change. Normally, we think what I know is enough and what I don't know is useless. That's not true. Every feature originates from a need or a purpose. So you have to start noticing the feature, understand what it does at a technical level, and then say, in which business situation will it be useful to me? So that thought process is called an efficient mindset. And as I mentioned earlier, right-click is the simplest way to answer the question, what is the capability available here? You remember the undo thing also, where there is that icon which comes and then you open that icon and it tells you what else it can do. To summarize, efficiency is not about how many features you know versus how many someone else knows. It's about the way you approach the product. If you get a feeling that you are helping Office rather than Office helping you, that means your activity is inefficient. So it's about knowing that whatever you need has already been thought of and provided for. Just explore it. So thank you for your time. It was a pleasure. Do send me your feedback on my email ID. And please follow my blog. All this and more is already there. And I write one article every day. Thank you.